some of the theories that we can actually propound in,
well,
this, in this time.
The debate has already started. And it wasn't supposed to be a debate after all, but it's turned out to be one. Normally, when you receive an apology, you just simply accept and move on. But we've seen something very... Was it unprecedented to hear the finance minister say, forgive us? He said it twice. Today, the morning show, I saw you guys playing it quite a bit. I don't know what the reaction had been after that. But it's been trending on social media for quite a while now. But the question I was asking, that we are asking on State of Play, is a very simple one. So here's Mohammed Amin Adam, the current finance minister, who wasn't a finance minister at the time when the mess was created. He was the deputy finance minister.
Deputy, even energy minister.
In fact, to be fair, he was the energy minister. He wasn't there at all.
He wasn't there at all.
And then he became deputy.
Yes.
This was after
the
mess.
Minister of State.
Minister of State, and then the substantive minister.
Yeah.
Okay. But clearly he wasn't there at the time when they created the mess. But he then decides to be the one who apologizes and asks for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So what? Was he just being a good man? This was a virtuous thing to do? Or did he shoot himself in the foot? I mean, of course, as we know, it is a mark of a mature individual to apologize when you know that you've done wrong. Mm-hmm. So that for me is admirable. And that's where for me I start from. It's admirable that he did that. Because obviously our politicians do not have that trait in them to apologize for anything. So to hear Vanda do it. But is it enough to atone for the sins of Nana and Ken? Because we know this is really at their doorstep. We all know. We've sat here and discussed before that when Ken was the finance minister, he was more powerful than a vice president.
Yeah.
And in cabinet meetings, it was his word that was bond. And the president hanged on to every single word that he spoke until we got into this mess. But he's apologized. He's apologized. So what do you make of that apology? Is it enough to atone? What should he have done in the first place? Because the debate that says he shouldn't have done it in the first place. It's too late. Too late.
Actually, I feel this apology should be coming from the president himself. Sincerely. Openly. So maybe instead of fighting the ghost of Nkrumah, a president should spend that much time or opportunities like that. Because, see, if there's anything that really got a certain group of people who are mostly loyalists of the NPP, mostly middle class, worried about their future, it was all this domestic debt exchange. Let's not get wrong. We had done a financial sector reform. Some financial institutions were collapsed outright. About 360 or so of these finance houses and also were all taken down. So already there were difficulties and people were still struggling to get money from those times. Then we added on this domestic debt exchange thing. See, people were truly, I mean, before the domestic debt exchange, there was this benchmarking. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was a conversation on benchmarking, which was also problematic for some people.
But that is how it started.
Yes.
For mutual funds.
Brilliant.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's where you nearly got caught.
I nearly got caught. Mark to market.
That's where it's at, especially. So it happened, and I called it the leveler. Sometimes some people are insulated from the collective problems that we have. I'm not saying everybody in that category is supposed to be rich. But this affected so many people. It made people sleepless. It made them think that their futures were not guaranteed in any way. It made people who were relying on it to buy drugs and all of that afraid of their future. That level we took our people. And let's not get it wrong. This finance system that we think that we have a system that's properly running, we've been taking almost 3 decades. At the core of it, so he, the man himself, Ken Oforiatta, to build it. So it really affected a grouping that was special in this state. And they kept on, and I kept hearing some of them say, there appears to be no remorse. They give you stupid excuses. They give you one of those, they will say, this one, it started first as COVID. Then 2 years later, Ukraine joined. Then, they will keep on giving the excuses. But these people knew. They had concerns about the economy. But you see, there's a group that you belong to. You don't really want to be seen as always complaining because it may be bad for business. There's someone who used to consistently tell me, tone down, sometimes when you talk, it puts the country in a way that it's about to collapse, which is very bad for business.
About to collapse?
Yeah. Oh, no.
It has collapsed.
No. That's before the
collapse.
Yes. So when it happened, the same man was very insistent. You people should push. Before we die. Oh. I saw a man very worried. Mm-hmm. A man I felt was very secured. Very, very worried about this future. And that's the extent to which we pushed our people to stages that was painful to them. And this man was the loyalist of the state. He believed 100% in government. In fact, he had participated, done a lot with government. So he believed that things will go on or normalize. Then he always talked about cyclical things. From experience, you always like that. It's cyclical. But the cyclical reached a point that he got afraid. All these people, we could have gotten them to feel that government care by apologizing early enough, by the executive president himself talking to them and saying, listen, I get you 100%. From deep within my heart, I think we messed up. We kept saying these things. The only debate we had in this country was whether it was still COVID class. Then even Mahmoud Bamia added the quadruple
banking sector.
Sector reform,
energy sector.
See, Russia, we blamed everything COVID. Except the managers of the economy. And sometimes we do the side-by-side comparison. In Jamaica, the apology, they issued it like a weekly thing. They made it look like, listen, government has been irresponsible. And so let's fashion a way out. Let's sit together. Let's all come for an understanding of what the situation is supposed to be. That's why the example is always made that in Jamaica, businesses sat down government and drafted a way forward. In Sri Lanka, even when they had removed people, the guy who came in as interim was apologizing for the work of the people that had been removed. The guy who had been removed and being carted out of the country was still apologizing. Mm-hmm. But we were arrogant in our posturing. And it was obvious to everybody.
You see?
But looking to the future, just last on this point, I do not think, if it's not coming from the president, it can still be received as Mohammed Amin Adam is planning to chart a new way forward. And I've heard some feedback. Take out the partisan people. Some say, at least there's an admission by somebody. Mm-hmm. And the person is willing to go as far as apologizing for the act. You get what I'm trying to say? But we all felt Ken Ofori was very humble. We all felt that it could have been easily done by state in ways that people
would have... Ken Ofori was humble?
Yes. Oh, the man who wears white clothes the Bible. Well, which other humility do you want
the
man?
The Ken Ofori that people knew while he was with Data Bank. The man who went around universities.
Yeah.
The man
motivational speech.
The man who wrote a book. And I read Ken Ofori's book when I think I'd returned from Cardiff. And when I read Ken Ofori's book about how he wasn't even supposed to have lived, when I say that because... his brother was impressed upon to abort him, okay?
Yeah.
So when I read Ken Ofori's book from all the times and, he had to go for young pioneers and his grandmother wouldn't give him food, she would, take the cassava, not to just leave you the cassava so that you can eat, try pounding for food, but just leave it, at a level that you can't even eat after food. I just fell in love with a man at that time because this is a man who had really achieved. Because when we were at the university, Raymond, you remember, you probably have... out of the springboard team at the time when UOP Grant and Co. used to come around and with Albert Okran. Mm-hmm. But you see, this is the point. Ken Ofori-Atta, during the motion for vote of censure, at the last minute, said he was sorry. But you see,
It sounded like a survivor tip.
Exactly.
He did it.
He did it in a way that looked like, I do not have a choice, but I have to go about it. In fact, this message, and I'm taking my time today because of a certain thing. Look, I was lucky not to have been affected. But for many people who are affected, and there are still people who are affected, and what actually hurts in a kind of, I mean, in the running of affairs of our state, is the fact that a lot of decisions are left to the last minute before elections. And when you do that, people would actually ask the motive behind those decisions. Now, Mohamed Amin Adam, when he went to present a media review of the budget, also apologized. So he is seen as a man with a certain demeanor. And for all of us who've known him, it looks like him. The man who would laugh with you, agree with you, but then disagree with you in a very nice manner. But you see, he's apologizing for the sins of another. But it is only fair because he's inherited the office and seeing to the final implement or continuous implementation of that. So he's in a position to see it. But this is it. Executive power rests in the president. I think that Nana Akufo-Addo should at this point in time address the nation once again and tell people, in fact, there is a talk about, oh, savings, savings, savings. Of course, we made budgets. We budgeted for some of these things. And of course, we have to raise the funds. But I think that the next time the president has the opportunity, before any more funds are released, because we're talking about paying persons still affected within the financial, he should address the nation and apologize to the people of Ghana.
In other words, he should take a cue from his finance minister.
Exactly. Because you see, Evans, this is the point. There are people today who have given up on this country. And I say this painfully because we see people all the time and they talk to us. And at every point in time when they talk to us, I mean, all of us, for those of us seated on this table who are a bit older, we can't start life anew anywhere else. Why? Where are you going? I mean, Evans, can you leave now? If you leave this country and you don't get a job in a media firm, are you going to go clean?
Dr. Adia Abdullah says, at first, it was junior doctors and nurses who are leaving.
Now consultants are leaving.
Now consultants are especially.
They're leaving, yeah, that's true.
Even those medical lecturers.
The people who are the apex of the food table. Yeah. You see, I ask myself the question.
Yeah.
How do I start? I'm a journalist. What am I going to do? Am I going to go out
blogger,
there?
Blogger.
When,
content creator.
My goodness.
It's a very lucrative
job.
The YouTube and
other. But why don't I create content here to change things? And so I look at it and I say, we are losing our most critical human resource. Because if I look back, if I had been affected by the domestic debt exchange, I would have asked myself.
How many years of sacrifice I'm sitting here? I was hit by the domestic debt exchange.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean,
and my story is so painful because I am risk averse. But of course, I'm risk averse. But at that point, I felt,
the safest option.
Yeah. I mean, all through school, we've all been told that government securities, bonds, and treasury bills,
they are risk-free.
I mean, that's where, if you are like me, that's where you put your money. So I eventually bought into that whole concept. Unfortunately, it was just within a few months that this, after I had decided to buy the bond, that this happened. So when I hear Amin Adam, by the way, Amin Adam is a very, very close friend of mine. I've known him for a very, 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 very long time. Way to the time when he was the DCE for
Tamale.
Tamale.
MC.
Not Tamale, yeah.
MC Tamale.
Call him
MC. When it was the mayor of Tamale. Right? So I know him. I know him very all throughout his ASAP years, etc. Yes. And I know he's sincere. I know. And I'm only saying it because I know the man. I know him beyond minister. I know the individual. I know he means well. And he's the only person, really, in the government who can say this. And I have no shadow of doubt that he meant when he said it. and would have thought about it before going there to actually say what he said. So he means it. Now, but also look at the circumstance around the apology. We've heard from Kukwu Kwarteng, who used to be there, who in his epistle said that one of the things that the party needs to do to win is to acknowledge the failings, not only of the MPP, but also on previous governments. And then you have Kennedy Yipon, of all people, also asking that they should apologize.
Yes.
We've also heard recently, Nyahu Nyahutamakul, of course, he's always fell up with the president for a very long time, but also making the same point. So clearly, there are people within the party, and we all speak to them, and they all concede that where they are, they haven't been good managers of the economy over the last 7.5 years. Amin Adam comes on the scene and decides, I want to apologize. But he's apologizing for a government. And the figurehead, who is the president, doesn't carry himself about, as we've all said, like somebody who believes in the concept of an apology, in the concept of, I have done wrong, let me acknowledge that. And not just acknowledge. He's done so in the past. For example, in the when the Doomsday started, when he went to Kumasi, he said, you know, thank
you. Evan, let me just chip in this point. Yeah. You see? And this is actually why I think that today it could be more likely for Akufo-Addo to apologize than before. And I'll explain why. If he still listens to his kitchen cabinet of yesteryears, he won't apologize. But now that one of the main men, of course, he still is envoy in the international capital market, but that one is not, is non-existent. We can't go there. The international capital market, we can't go there.
Yes, but we are negotiating.
Oh, yeah, we're negotiating, but we can't.
We are doing our very best to get back on that.
This
table.
Is the point. If he listens to Mohamed Amin Adams, I'm sure he would tell him the reality of the Ghanaian economy.
Yeah.
The president had consistently been made to believe
that
things were going well, things were okay until these things.
Because when you're president, you live in the cocoon, you live in the bubble.
And I've had somebody, and I've met an elderly statesman. He met you and had a conversation with me for over 2 hours. He kept asking me happenings in the country. And his conclusion was, hey, and it's an NPP person. And then he tells me that for a president to be successful, he must not only listen to ministers who want him to hear the sort of things he wants to hear. He needs one person who could walk into your room and tell you, Mr. President, we're getting it wrong.
But if do you know the president?
I do.
Okay. We all know. And the president is not one of those people who you can challenge and tell him something that he doesn't want to hear. We all know. Look, I have had an encounter with people who have been very close to him who say, look, when you raise that objection in the room, when he clearly doesn't believe in that cause, he is going to ram you like a train.
But this is
so a lot of people won't even dare. No,
but there are people who would dare do that.
But I
can't mention this.
In the last 7.5 years, the former energy minister, Bwache Jako, is known to be one of the few people who stood up to him in cabinet meetings.
Yeah.
How did he end?
Oh, he left. Okay, he was sacked. Oh, he left.
He was sacked. His contract was terminated. But this is the point. I know somebody who told the president years ago that, hey, Mr. President, you and I fought President Kufuor over this. It will not happen in your time. You will not be leader of the NPP. Whoever has made that amendment, and I'm not going to mention it, but anybody who knows him would know, I won't agree. The president agreed with him. But the point I'm trying to make is that at some point, the people, you see, this is not just about elections.
Yeah.
It's about the country, the state, Ghana.
That's true.
So Kweku Kwarteng has said it. Others are saying it. And so I hear people say that, oh, this could be a mere election. But I think that, look, Kweku Kwarteng, and when Kweku Kwarteng spoke, Raymond, and I share some of those messages with you, we all shared messages of some of the worst critics of this government actually calling us and saying, you know what, guys, don't remind people of what he may have even said in the past.
Just focus on what he's saying
today. This is what we need today. And these are critics of the government, some of whom have lost millions as a result of certain government policies. All they said was, look, let's focus on what he said. Let's all of us come around the table and take a decision. But it must start with an apology that we may have made, that we made mistakes. No, we may have. We made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We made mistakes. We are sorry. Look, let all of us agree. Okay? You may choose to retain us. You may choose to vote against us. But the point is that we must agree that going forward, these are the things that we must
do. And you see, this shouldn't be hard for the president.
Yeah.
Because really has nothing to lose.
At this point,
he is already lame duck.
At this point.
In the next 5 months most, mm-hmm. he's gone. But his legacy
That's true.
Will remain. Will his legacy be me losing, being wiped out from the middle class? And I've stopped being middle class. It was same as Abunsu. And I remember this very clearly.
Yes, it's true.
Who made the point that the DDEP will wipe? And it did. Because, look, a journalist, you save small. You know, some small thousands.
Your savings, then
you nearly escaped. You would have been wiped out too.
Oh, I escaped.
You know? So it's
but,
that.
But the truth also is that the last money that I left there to see what may happen, it took me 2 months to get it. even though it was hit by mark to market, but that wasn't a lot of money.
No, but even if you got it,
yeah.
right? Inflation.
Yes.
Wherever you kept it, would have just
which runs
decimated
4%.
It. So does he want his legacy to be the pain people still feel when they remember Akufo-Addo? Mm-hmm. The monies they lost. And don't forget, the banking sector crisis. That obviously we know they could have done a bit more to save some of the bank, but people still have money locked up there.
That's what I'm saying. That's where it starts from.
That's where it starts from. People still have money locked up, and they are still protesting.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And they haven't had an apology from the man himself. You have nothing to lose. So if you, look, Aminadab has a whole future ahead of him still, Semem of Parliament. He has a lot to lose, really. He has apologized. The man who has nothing to lose hasn't even
and you see,
on this particular matter. And you see, that's the thing that and Akufo-Addo, you think that he's big on legacy. I thought he's big on legacy. Because if you look at what he did with the free SHS.
Against all odds.
It was a legacy policy. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants to be remembered. But will you remember Akufo-Addo for free SHS when he's done?
No.
I doubt anybody will think Akufo-Addo in 2025 January
I will still remember that against all odds, he introduced
it'll come with an effort.
Yes.
You have to remember.
But
you have to remember.
I'm going to also remember how people lost funds. So while I remember free SHS, I would also remember how people lost their funds. And that is why I agree with you. Look, when J.A. Kufuor criticized Jerry John Rawlings for having a lot of ministers, and he came into office. He had promised, he had said, and I remember in those days, in the year 2000, when the NPP launched their manifesto in Ho, launched their campaign in Ho, they said, in a country like the US, they use 45 ministers. I've not checked whether that is true or not, but I'm just giving you at the time what was said. And Ghana has more than that. I mean, why do we need these number of ministers? You know, all of that. Look, at a point in time, he was delivering a speech and said, when I was in opposition, I didn't know what I know today. So I am sorry. I apologize for criticizing.
I think the number was 68 at the time.
Yes. And he criticized it. He said, I'm sorry for criticizing that.
And look, you know, it ended that conversation.
It did.
It killed it.
And at every point in time.
I've said it all the time, if I sit across the table with you to interview and start by apologizing, you disarm me.
And you see, we adopted a phrase that said, do a J.A. Kufuor.
Mm-hmm.
Apologize. Say, I'm sorry. I didn't know this while in opposition. And when he said that, his worst critics said,
But Winston, this is a big picture for me. Should Amin Adams' approach set the tone for the next 4 months?
It should.
Not only after the president, he must. If he doesn't, all these young men and women around him who really have far more to lose and far more at stake, not only this year, but years to come.
Yeah,
they should go out there and show him how it should be done. When you have done. But why? Don't they have families in this economy?
Yeah.
Those ministers who obviously live in that cocoa in a bubble, they drive their VW fuel. They have families.
They are from families. They are from constituencies. Yeah, they are from areas.
In this economy, it is really a village.
Yeah.
So you have family members who are going through this pain and who hear about that every day. They should go out there, like Amin Adam had done, and every opportunity they get, be remorseful. Look, then leave it up to the electorate. Now, the challenge they have, obviously, is 4 months on election. Everybody will think this is obviously
an election ploy.
An election ploy. You want to make political capital. But of course, that is there too, right? But there'll be a group of people. If I know, I mean, at least
it would have been on record.
That you said it. Mm-hmm. That you said it. That you made the point. You see, the reason why Kwaku Kwarteng's thing was so powerful is because he brought the credibility to back what he was saying. This is a guy who got an upgrade. A promotion. He was actually giving Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, and he turned it down.
And even in Parliament, you could ask minority majority.
They respected.
They reached the point. This man almost became a stumbling block to government business.
To the point where the minister went to Parliament and filed an urgent question of the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Which never happens.
Yeah.
Your chairman is always on your side.
That's true.
So when a minister has an urgent question, to ask him, and it's not presidential though, ask the chairman why the tax exemptions had not been dealt with. Have you heard that before?
No.
His own colleagues in government were not filing questions for him to come and answer. It's amazing.
And because I heard sometimes when people are caught and he took his time to explain to them what was at stake, half of the people got it.
Yeah.
Then it's only the rest that say, oh, now you just represent us.
The challenge that others in the party and in government will have if they really see the Amin approach as the approach to take is, do they have the Kwaku Kwarteng credibility to back it, even if they do it? It's a big question, right? So, but it still must be done.
Mm-hmm.
Must be done and do it consistently enough for us to at least, you can't take away the pain I've felt over the last 2.5 years with the money's outflow. You can't replace that.
And I think...
But at least if you tell me that you understand and that you apologize, it's something.
And it, at least you still have 4 months, right? And I was happy hearing what I heard from Alex Mpabe. At least...
Deputy Finance Minister.
Yes. Somebody in government thinks that we have to break from the past. You get my point. So please, we want debt ceiling. We want our Fiscal Responsibility Council to be independent. Proposals that are, of course, have been talked about before.
In the past, yes.
Yes. But are all leaning towards, let's not just pretend that this period is going to never come back again. But let's take steps beyond an apology to make sure that we don't put the people in this condition again. I was always complaining that I don't hear that conversation happening in this country.
Mm.
I'm not hearing them talk about that. I only hear, we'll go and do this, we'll move on and do this, we'll go and cancel that. I'm not hearing the very things that says, we are in the position, we will never put you in a domestic debt exchange again. If I remember, I said, you will sign an undertaking.
Yeah.
Before, all parties are asking the election, that it will never happen. Undertakings may be, symbolic. But there are policy directions that should let that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm happy they are leaning towards those ones. I'm happy it appears some because, you see, what we don't know, this state thing is an abstract conception. It only rides on obedience of the people. If the people think you are no longer serving their purpose, in this case, it has not only the NPP. If the people think that the politics of Ghana is no longer serving its purpose, there will be rebellion from within. And that is far more dangerous than people holding guns and chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
People can rebel without necessarily using guns and all of the other things. So we should understand that there is no state where people are prosperous, they are happy. And we are not saying that before DDEP, people were getting all the money in the world. But a section of the public had always said, oh, let's wait. We are burgeoning a fledgling democracy. We'll get better. We'll get better. That group joined a group that said, hey, country, the group.
Mm.
After DDEP. Anyway, they gave up completely.
Mm.
But maybe we can restore hope small.
Let's read some messages.
Lots of them.
There are a few messages here that obviously believe that we are doing a setting agenda. So let's go through that. Let's deal with them one after the other. There's Albert Epapakwisi Kumsi. But he says, thank you, it's okay now, because he was asking about the sound. Then Isaiah Adongo said, this administration have taken the intelligence of Ghanaians on a long, dusty, bumpy ride heading into the National Cathedral's wide pit. I now understand why Ghanaians were told, we have short memories. Hey, these people, never again.
That means the man, something came out of his pocket.
Johnson says, what apology? Are we going to eat that? Well, that's something that I agree with. I mean, apology no go fit put food on my table. Aritobevi Akla says, the three of you seated there contributed to this mess in which we are, Winston and Raymond, because you felt because you failed to hold the MPP government accountable. You failed, I believe is what he wanted to say, to hold the MPP government accountable. You never exposed their financial lies. Okay, gentlemen, please respond to this gentleman.
No, it's even not true, but I mean, assuming we didn't, how then did we contribute to it?
Yeah.
Were we the ones who started the DDP? The DDP, does he have a committee
he failed to hold the MPP government accountable.
I'm not sure which network he's been following. The problem is that you cannot be living your life predominantly elsewhere. The only chance on this one and make it look like that's how. If you have been following me consistently and see that I have not been doing so, I would understand that. But you cannot be, I was almost mentioning the station, be doing that, then today you come and get everything.
He just woke up from slumber. And decided to type something.
No, yeah.
I just would make this point. When people say, journalists have contributed to the problems in this country. Of course, all of us may have contributed to the problem one way or the other. But if there's any group of journalists that has held this government accountable, it should be at this platform on which you are.
Yeah.
So even when we know the ones that, before we did the RTI request for the Frontiers deal, did I not come and show you the copy of the Frontiers agreement? Which other person requested for that?
And the folly in Akla's that point is actually evidenced by the fact that this government boycotted us.
Yeah.
So if they love us so much, we are not holding accountable. We are best friends and we sleep on the same bed. They will boycott us. So please, just make sure that when you sleep and you wake up and you send me a message.
But the problem is that you don't have a problem with your elected officials, the people you voted for. But you have a problem with me, rather.
Yeah. The point they miss is that they don't know that this is state of play. Right? When you join me on, that one, by here and here. Boot for boot. Boot for boot. Koji says, people mismanage the economy, destroy lives and wreak such levels of destruction. Wreak such level of destruction and wants to wash all that away with just an apology. Well, we hear the apology, but the punishment they will take in December. And I want to go down, because there's a lot of them. John Singh says, you people will feel the pain very more, because you people are just, he says, hypocrites. After all that this government have done to us, the people in this country, we are here talking about dishonest apology. Okay, so we are talking about apology. Well, the man apologized. And so once he apologized...
Well, you see, I can understand where they're coming from. But this is the point for me. At some point in time, we need to get to the table and solve the country's problem, devoid of politics.
And the only consideration, and unfortunately, see, our people should understand that the biggest consideration in this country is not whether you are MPP or NDC, because NPP and NDC members were affected by domestic debt exchange. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So building a better state will require a more conciliatory approach than, if it's not MPP, it's NDC kind of thing. After all, the evidence is that MPP and NDC have been doing this job for us since 1992. The evidence is there. Yeah, we are where we are. So when the only thing that's important to you is that we should come and sit and say, no, we reject the apology. Okay, if I reject it, so what?
Yeah. Okay, I said in 2026, we won't be paying the restructured debt. That won't change that. We'll still pay.
Yeah, of course.
Enjoy the rest of your evening.
We'll still pay.